Well, good morning. Good to be here. Good to see y'all. And been a good meeting. And I've enjoyed being able to be here and for the few days and being able to be a part of it. Always a special thing. I want to mention that I carried my book table is I carry a lot of different books and things, but. This trip, I usually don't bring anything, but I brought some Bibles because I've been able to pick up some Bibles at a very cheap price, and so I don't mark them up very much. And so I do have some Bibles on the back table, and there's some study Bibles back there. If you know what the Rainbow Study Bible is, it's a it just kind of breaks things down, scriptures, portions of scriptures to show you what. It's a kind of a color-coded study of the scriptures. And they're a $70 Bible, and I'm selling for $25. There's I've got a couple of the Schofield Reference Bibles. They're hardback, but they're about $15 a piece. And so there's some ladies' devotional Bibles back there. Just some things to try to help. And I hadn't said anything about it, and I'll say it again tonight before the service. But just to let you know, I do have them on the back table if anybody's interested. If you want to take a look, I do have some small compact Bibles also. But I just want to say I truly appreciate the opportunity to be here, Brother Britt. I love you. I appreciate you. And I appreciate the spirit, again, of the meeting. And what a message that was just presented to us. I don't know if we understand the depth of what was just presented. And and I appreciate the spirit that it was presented in. And truly, it's going to kind of, my message is going to be pretty anemic compared to that message, but it is going to hopefully follow up and just give an addendum to part of what he was talking about in that thought there. I want to take a look at two familiar stories in the scriptures today that really deal with the same principle. And the best I can tell from Scripture, this is the only two instances in the Bible that deal with this thing that I want to talk about specifically. You say, well, what is it? Well, let's look at the first one, and it's in 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And you know what? Let's just go ahead and pray before we begin here, and then we'll jump right in. Father, I do pray that you would bless these next few moments we have to spend together. Lord, I acknowledge my utter dependence upon you. And Father, I pray that you would speak and that you would do the work only you can do, Lord. I thank you for the great message that we heard already. And Father, I pray we'd not forget that. And I pray that you'd help this to just be something that would kind of continue it, Lord, and work in our hearts this morning, Lord. And we'll be very careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, very familiar a story. You know the story of Elijah and Elisha. Now, leading up into this story, of course, Elijah, everybody's got their own opinion about this, but I personally believe that Elijah ended up limiting himself about what God was going to do with him while he was here in the days that he was here. I mean, he was a mighty man of God. He's coming back again. He was one who was taken up and didn't have to pass from this earth by death. Yet he hasn't had to, but I believe that that he hindered himself because of the because of the spirit that he took upon himself, and thinking he was the only one, and he was it, and nobody else was trying to live for God, and God finally had to tell him, you know, okay, you know, just go do these three things, and he didn't even accomplish the three things the Lord told him to do. We know the one that he cast the mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha followed him for 10 years, but he never accomplished the other two things the Lord told him to do. Elijah is about to be translated here. And let's just read down through beginning in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now, the truth of the matter is God's still, this is God's man. Amen. And how dare we say anything against the man of God? And Elisha was trying to do that. There was other people that were mocking him in this passage of scripture here. It says in verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I think in the Hebrew that means just shut your mouth. But anyway, he was standing with the man of God. Amen. Even though that, you know what? Every man of God has issues because we're all human, but he was standing with him here. And, it says in verse 4, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. Here comes these other preacher boys or preachers that want to cause confusion. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Again, just shut your mouth, okay? I know what's going on here. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And that's, you know, that is a great message there too. I don't know if you ever studied that, the three places that the Lord sent him to. Very interesting. But, he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Boy, the bond that those two had there, or that Elisha had in just submitting himself to that man of God. Verse 7 says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. Man, can you imagine what those 50 others that were sitting over there looking at it thought that when Elijah wrapped the mantle up and they thought, you know what? Yeah, it's all done. And he's all, man, the power of God came down and smote the waters and divided them. It says it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, you know what? If there's one thing that I could ask you for, man, I'd love to have a double portion of what it is that you've got. And it says, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Okay, is this going to happen? Is this really going to happen? Am I going to have a double portion? Is God's spirit going to be on me, the spirit of Elijah on me? And it says he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Man, that double portion of the spirit. Boy, stop and think about that. This story tells us of a young man, Elisha, who was so moved by the power and spirit of an older man, Elijah, that when he had the opportunity to choose one thing from that man of God that he could get from, that man of God could do for him, his choice was a double portion of the old man's spirit, a double portion of that spirit to rest upon him. Wow, of all that he could have asked for from that man of God, I want your spirit. I want that spirit that rests upon you. Well, what a challenge that ought to be to each and every one of us, especially those that are younger, looking to men that are older. But there are people that we look at and we say, man, if I just had a double portion of that, Man, if I just had a double portion of that. And truly, I believe, and I get a little ahead of myself here, but I believe that what Elisha was enamored with was the power that God had upon him and that power that was working through him. To have such a spirit about us that another child of God or any person would desire a double portion of what we have. Think about Proverbs 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. It says about Daniel in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretive dreams were found in the same Daniel. Boy, to have such an excellent spirit that someone would desire. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Think about that. Daniel in captivity. I mean, the people of the land looked at him and said, man, you know, forget our president, forget our king. We want what that guy's got, man. He's got an excellent spirit. Oh, to be a child of God with an excellent spirit today. Boy, does that describe any of us that sit in the room here today? Now, that's the first one I want to look at, but now I want to look at a second one over in Numbers chapter 11. You see, this is the second time that I believe there's two times that I see that where somebody desired after the spirit of another individual. The first one we just read, the second one I believe is this one right here. The first one was that of a human desiring another human's spirit, longing after that, but I think you'll understand more as we read down through this passage of Scripture, Numbers chapter 11. This is the story of Moses. It says in verse number 1, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also went again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Boy, they forgot all the bondage, but, you know, they're thinking about the food. It says, sound like Baptist, amen? But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. I always thought that comical, that they would say, we don't have anything but bread from heaven. Sounds like us. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, beginning in verse 10, notice what says here. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Can you imagine what he was listening to and what was going on there, the complaining that was going on. You know, here we thought God's with us and God's leading us out and everything, and we thought God, but look at what we're going through and look at all that we're dealing with and look at what's come down upon us. The Lord's upset with us. It says Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. I mean, you read the commentaries and they all say Moses was just belly aching to the Lord. He was just complaining to the Lord. Well, he was pouring out his heart to God. He was pouring out a complaint, if you would, before the Lord. But I want you to notice the spirit in which he poured out his complaint before the Lord, because that's what made all the difference. You say, what do you mean? He said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You know what he was saying? God, I can't do this. And God, I don't even want to continue to go forward. And Lord, I don't even want to see my wretchedness and who I am and what I can't do and my frailties and the faults in my life. God, just take me out of the way. It says, the Lord said unto Moses in verse 16, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Verse 17 says, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Wow. I don't know if you've ever looked at it in this light, but I believe that this is what the Lord was saying. That is the spirit that I'm looking for. That's the kind of spirit that I want. Somebody that is humble, somebody that is broken, somebody that realizes their utter a lack of being able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Somebody that's truly in spirit, depending totally and wholly upon me. You know what? I like that spirit so much. Why don't you get 70 men? Because I'm going to take that spirit and put it on 70 other men. Wow. Now, here's the simple little thought here. Thinking about this, God said, that's the kind of spirit that I'm looking for. When we're on the human side, this is what we look for. We look for somebody that's got power. We want somebody that has might. We want somebody that looks like they're really doing something. That's the kind of spirit we're looking for. That's human to human. But when God's looking from heaven, he says, you give me somebody that's broken. Give me somebody who realizes their utter inability to be able to accomplish anything. You give me somebody that is totally dependent upon me, and that's the kind of person that I'm going to take that spirit, and I want to give it to a bunch of other people. Wow. Moses was a broken man, turning to the only one who had any hope and trust that he could trust in. And that's what the Lord's looking for today. This is the whole message. This is not a long message. This is the whole message. I'm just going to throw a few thoughts at you. If God looked down from heaven today and he took the spirit that's upon each of us and put it on somebody else, what would they get? What kind of spirit would they end up with? I mean, if somebody got our spirit today, I wonder if they would just get a spirit of selfishness. You know, because we're so focused on ourselves, it's always me first. It's always my life. It's always my wants. It's always my needs. It's always my happiness. It's always what I can accomplish. It's always, look at me, or look what I've done, or I got to put myself first, or I got to, everything about selfishness. The sad reality is a lot of God's children are just consumed in self. That's what we were programmed for today. I mean, we're throwing everything at the world, throws everything at us today, you know, and tells us that that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to just enjoy this life because it's all about us. Oh, to get to the place to understand and realize how selfish we are and plead with God to remove that spirit from us. Put the right kind of spirit on us so that he can help other people with whatever he is using us to do. We're self-serving rather than God and others serving. Moses sure wasn't. No, Moses said, you know what? God, whatever you got to do, God, just take me out of the way if it has to be. What kind of spirit are we passing on? If God took our spirit today and passed it on to somebody else, I wonder if it'd be a spirit of sinfulness. And I believe, Brother Whiteside, one of the reasons why we're not being used the way we are is there's so much sin in the lives of men of God. So much sin in the lives of men of God. Selfishness, sinfulness, indulging in the flesh, worldly carnal living. A lot of it that we know is displeasing unto the Lord. A lot of it is just things of this world that we get caught up in. A lot of hobbies and a lot of different things. And man, I see people that get so consumed in things of this world. And let me tell you, I've been there. Been there and done it. We're talking about hunting today. Man, at one time my life was so consumed in hunting. Man, so wrapped up in that. And if God would have taken my spirit and put it on somebody else, it would have been to kill the biggest buck that they could find. That was the spirit I had. What kind of spirit lays on us today? I mean, are we caught up and consumed? And that becomes sinfulness when the things of this world become more important to us than living for the Lord. Boy, I don't know about you, but that's not the spirit I want put on me. I mean, I don't need that. I got enough problems of my own rather than having somebody else's spirit that's sinful or selfish being placed upon top of me. Moses and Elijah were not filled with that sinfulness and that selfishness. They were trying to be yielded up unto the Lord. I wonder if it would be a spirit of slothfulness. There's a lot of lazy Christians today. A lot of people that just not wanting to fulfill what we know we're supposed to be doing in this life. What do you mean? I'm not talking about necessarily just flat out being lazy, but I'm talking about being lazy as a Christian. I'm talking about not wanting to witness to people. I'm talking about not wanting to carry gospel tracts and trying to be a faithful witness for the Lord while we're here. I'm talking about not wanting to be involved in our church. Well, I want to sit in church and I want to hear everything and I want to listen, but boy, you know, preacher, don't ask me to do this or don't ask me to do that. Why? Because we're just lazy. A spirit of laziness. We don't need a spirit of laziness, that's for sure. We've got enough of that going on right now. I was talking to Brother Whiteside before this service this morning. He was talking about, as we're talking about getting older, and he's got some years on me, but he's talking about going to the Philippines, and boy, that trip, but come back with pneumonia and all these different things. He said, but you know what? I'd rather be go doing that than just sitting here. Amen. That's exactly what I'm talking about. What are we doing with our lives? Is our life really truly sold out to God? See, we have the kind of spirit that God says, man, I got to get some people because I want to take that spirit and put it on somebody else. Slothfulness, laziness. There's a ton of scriptures that we could look at. I'm not going to look at them today. I wonder if it's a spirit of jealousy. A lot of that going on today too. A lot of that going on with preachers today. Jealous about other preachers and jealous about what other, wanting what somebody else has. Jealousy, the scriptures tell us, is the rage of a man. You look up that word jealousy, and in it, it will contain a lot of different words like that. It's rage. It's a boiling. Now that's the kind of spirit I want God to take and put on me. Yeah, no, we don't need that. But why do we live that way then? Think about what God would get, or what somebody would get if God took our spirit and put it on somebody else. I mean, there's just other things. There's a whole lot of people. What Brother Whiteside was speaking about today, how about just a spirit of heaviness? Spirit of heaviness. The scriptures speak about it. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. And turn over there. We'll read that verse. We got a few moments here. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, this is prophetical about our Savior. It says in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, sure, he's talking about his people and about what he would do for his people, but he's done it for us too. What do you mean? Hey, he's given us a spirit of praise, or the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We ought not be children that walk around with a spirit of heaviness. What does that mean, that spirit of heaviness? It means to be feeble. It says to be darkish, somewhat dark. And it says specifically a wick burning with very little flame, almost gone out. We know what the scriptures tell us. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Amen. We're not supposed to be covered up. We're not supposed to be hidden. When we live with a spirit of heaviness, depression, like we're talking, like the preacher preached about, And that kind of just so overwhelmed. God doesn't want us. He wants us to understand how weak we are, how much we need him. But he wants us to be a light that's shining forth so that we can help other people and reach other people. And maybe that God would take our spirit and maybe catch fire in some other people too to do more for the Lord also. I wonder if it's a spirit of bondage, slavery to this world, spirit of slumber, the Bible talks about. Spirit of the world, just adorning ourselves with the world and the things of the world, spirit of unforgiveness, spirit of bitterness. I'm just asking us to just do a little checkup in our heart today. What kind of spirit is that which resides in us? Would it be something that somebody else in the world longs after? Is it something that God longs after to pass down to somebody else? The spirit of lust, the spirit of envy, and the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, impurity. And Galatians gives us a whole list of those things. You know, the truth of the matter is the only way to have the kind of spirit that other people would long for or want, or that would be pleasing unto the Lord and that God could take and to pass on to somebody else, it's got to be spirit-filled. It's got to be of his spirit. It's got to be that kind of spirit that Moses had that longed after what God could give him that he didn't have himself. A spirit of humility and meekness. Oh, the scriptures are chalked filled, teaching us about how important humility is. You know, I preach on this oft times about when Solomon got on that brazen scaffold at the dedication of the temple and prayed unto God and begged the Lord, you know, if these different things happen and transpire, we have the pestilence in the land, and we, you know, if we pray and if we seek your face and if will you hear and will you return and if our sins have separated us from you. And he goes through six or seven different things there that he lists in that prayer that he cries out to God. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he responds to him there. And he comes to him after he comes down and consumes the sacrifice that they've offered there and showing that in front of the people that he's pleased with what they're doing at this dedication. But then he meets with Solomon privately and he said, I've heard your prayer. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, what did he say next? Shall humble themselves. Then he went through and listed everything that he prayed back in chapter 6. What do you mean? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. But God added that little phrase right there at the very beginning. Do you know there's a difference between just praying unto God and humbling ourselves and praying unto the Lord? There's a big difference between humbling yourself, pray, seek his face. You know, there's a difference between seeking his place, his face, and humbling ourselves and seeking his face. You know, I think it's a lot of times we come to the Lord in our prayer life, and it's almost a prideful way we come before him. What do you mean? Man, we got to humble ourselves before God. I appreciate the spirit of the last message. And I know Brother Whiteside wouldn't want me to say anything, but it's very obvious to see the humility. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of spirit that I want. That's the kind of spirit I want. God, I want to be humbled before him. Why? So that he can somehow use me. Because I know he can't use me if I'm in it. Amen. If I get in the way, there ain't any way he's going to be able to use me. Spirit of humility, spirit of meekness. Hey, the greatest leader in the Old Testament. Moses, what was the big characteristic about Moses' life? His meekness. His power, a weakness, and but the power of God working through him. Because of a spirit of humility and because of a spirit of meekness, and by the way, a spirit of power too. I mean, God doesn't want us to just mope around. Amen. He doesn't want us to just, you know, you don't go around and this false humility. Well, you know, I can't do anything. No, he doesn't want us to have that, but he wants us to be humble before him. But he wants us to be have that spirit of power too. You remember 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Turn over there for a second. You know this verse, but turn there and think about what the Lord said here. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I think about that, I think about that's what those two men had. What do you mean? The spirit of power. I mean, that's what Elijah had on his life. But the spirit of love and of a sound mind, that's exactly what Moses had. I mean, he had a love for those people, a love for God. He wanted God to take and use his life. That's the way we need to live our life. Hey, and that spirit of love and a sound mind and the power of God working on our life. If we could just get into the category that Moses was. You say, how can I put myself in a category of Moses? Why don't we just try to be like he was in humbling ourselves before the Lord, crying out to God. When's the last time that you fell on your face and just cried out to the Lord and said, God, I just can't do this. Lord, I want to live for you and I want to please you. And if I'm not going to do it, God, just take me out of the way. Oh, no, we don't want to pray that. No, I want to live this life. I want to, you know what? I'd rather have God take me out than not try to live for him and please him with my life and do what he wants me to do. The only way to get that kind of spirit is we got to stay close to the Lord. The closer we stay to the Lord, more humble we're going to be. Amen. You get in the presence of God, you're going to have to be humble before him. Amen. How do I do that? John chapter 15. Brother Jenkins mentioned it the other night. It was in my notes, which I didn't preach the other night. I didn't preach all of it, but it was in my notes talking about our potential. You know, our potential is so great if we'll abide in him. If we'll abide in him. What does that word abide mean? To rest, to stay, to take up residence. Boy, you take up residence in the Lord and you're going to be humble. You're going to be, that's a natural thing that's going to come, but you're going to have the power of God too. A crucified life, letting him live through us. Andrew Murray said this. He said, what life must one lead to bear fruit? He said, live as a branch depending on the vine for strength. If we are branches abiding in Christ, the vine, he will supply the power. If we just live in him, abiding in him, he'll give us the power to fulfill and accomplish what he wants us to in this life. I know this is not a shouting message or anything, but it's just something to try to challenge us about what kind of spirit rests on us today. Is this, be honest before the Lord this morning. Would you want God to take the spirit that's on you right now and give it to you? Would you want him to give you a double portion of the spirit that you have right now? Or would you cry out and say, God, please, Lord, help me to yield myself more to you every day. Help me to long for the spirit of a Moses, the spirit of my weakness, understanding my weakness and understanding my inability and understanding who I am and understanding what I need from you. Because that's the kind of spirit that God from heaven looked down and said, give me 70 other people. I'll take that spirit above everything. I'll take that spirit and I'll put it on 70 other people. Oh, we want the power of other people. We want that. Well, that comes if we'll humble ourselves and if we'll yield ourselves and if we'll let him have his way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. What spirit's on you right now? What spirit would be passed on if God took your spirit and gave it to somebody else? Would you want to receive it? Father, I pray that you'd help us to just do a little checkup this morning. I thank you for the great message that we heard earlier, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that the work that we do is not insignificant. Maybe even Moses got into a little of that trap too, but yet he did humble himself before you. Like those people humbled themselves before you, and as Mother Whiteside said from your word, we see that, God, you blessed that. You took what was little, because little is much when you're in it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us also to just take a checkup on our heart about what kind of spirit is on us right now. Is it a spirit that can help anybody else? Or is it a spirit that would hurt someone else? God, help us to see our utter dependence upon you. And Lord, do the work that you need to do in our lives. Thank you again for the privilege to be here, Lord, and to continue to meet with us and do the work that only you can do in Jesus' name.